It ain't a beat unless Timmy touch that.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Comunicado Oficial. We're back this week with another episode. It's your boy Funti here, and this week we have our regulars back on the show. We have, as usual, Pam. Pam, thank you for returning back to the show this week.
Pam is obviously
now a very regular and probably one of the board of directors of Comunicado Oficial, as you can see right now. Then we also have Feyi back here. Feyi, as usual, made his predictions how many episodes ago. I think it was like 3 or 4 episodes ago. And he's back to, as usual, show that he was right and everything. So welcome back, Feyi, as well, too. And we have Corey as well. Me and Corey, we always talk, and he knows the ball and everything, but I guess this week he was quite of humbled. So welcome back, Corey.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Let's just get right into it. The first things first, the elephant in the room, the FA Cup final. I just want to make it known that, okay, we had an episode where Feyi predicted that Arsenal were going to qualify through the Europa League, through the FA Cup by beating Chelsea, and it was laughed at, and apparently things they occur. So I will give the stage to Feyi to say what he needs to say about Arsenal winning the FA Cup and everything like that.
Yes, sir. It was a very, very dominant performance, as you could see. Obviously, we got outplayed in the first 5 to 20 minutes, but after the drinks break, I think my manager had a word with them, settled the nerves, did everything. Pepe hit one, but obviously was offside, and then you know how the game went on from there. And yeah, you can say Anthony Taylor had a poor, poor game, but I don't really care. At the end of the day, they got dominated and we won the game. But to everyone who laughed at Arsenal when I said we're going to win Man City and going to win Chelsea, you're not laughing now, are you? And yeah, you can say we're still in the Europa League, blah, 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 blah. But I don't know, it just feels right for us to win the FA Cup. It feels like a massive, massive step. And you can say it doesn't mean anything, it's just the FA Cup, blah, blah, blah. But to me, it does a lot of confidence for Mikel Arteta. Confidence in himself and players' confidence in him as well. And whether you like it or not, it's going to help attract more players to Arsenal because they've seen that he's capable of winning trophies and he looks to be a good manager and the players look excited under him. So it just makes us look more attractive than we were. Not saying we're the most attractive right now, but we're definitely more attractive than we looked a couple of weeks ago.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to leave it to the two Chelsea fans to whoever wants to speak, because first of all, I think you guys were kind of outplayed after the drinks break and everything. And I know the referee played a big decision, but whatever you say now, you can go ahead.
Okay, I'll start. Chelsea, FA Cup final, Arsenal definitely deserved to win the game. Just if we're talking just about playing wise, Chelsea had nothing in them. I would say, I think 20 minutes is even giving them grace. I would say after the first 10 minutes, to be honest, I think we played well for the first 10 minutes, and afterwards it's just sideways passes, backwards passes. It was just very lethargic. There was no drive to go forward and win the game. So Arsenal totally deserve the win. I honestly, though, like, I'm not even just saying this out of like being salty, but I think Anthony Taylor had possibly one of the worst refereeing games I think I've seen in a long time. It was just terrible refereeing all around the board. I've even seen Man United fans talking about it. It was just so bad. Like, the officiating was so bad. Like, Kovacic should never have received a second yellow card. There was just a lot of that one for me was stupid. Yeah, Arsenal fans want to talk about like Aspie should have received a red card. I think that, I don't even think that's a, I mean, he was side to side with
Aspie receiving a red card for the penalty.
Yeah, for the penalty.
Yes, sir.
That was a soft penalty, first of all, but we know it's a penalty.
No way.
There's no way.
It's not about the contact. It's about the fact that Aubameyang was the last man. That's why he should receive a red card.
There's a new double jeopardy rule. So once your other centre-back covers, we had, I think it was Zuma or Rudiger covering. Yeah. So technically, Aspie wasn't the last man. when he got down in the box. Like, if the foul was maybe outside the box and it was a free kick, Aspi might have gone sent off, but it occurred in the box, so people had covered.
Exactly. That's what I'm – exactly, Pam. Thank you for that, because that's what – I've had some Arsenal fans say that to me. I was like, first of all, he fouled him in the box, and he received – they were given a penalty for that. And first of all, I even – like what Funto said, I thought it was a soft penalty, period. And then secondly, he was given a penalty already. So to then ask for a red card for that type of offense, I don't think that's a red card at all. That would have been terrible to just start the game off with. But then Anthony Taylor decided that – he wanted to be man of the match. He decided that this game wanted to be about him. His performance was brilliant, and everything that he did for the Arsenal fan base was wonderful. I'm happy that you guys were celebrating your FA Cup final to take you to Kazakhstan next year to play against Beit Borisov and all that you guys wanted to do.
If we're going to be honest, Chelsea deserved that refereeing performance, because I remember in Stamford, the Emirates earlier this season, Jorginho should have got sent off, and then 5 minutes later he went on and scored the equalizer that made you man go on and win the game. So all I can say is it's karma, because Jorginho should have been sent off in the Emirates.
You guys were celebrating when what's that young player scored a goal against Kepa? Who's your young striker?
Martinelli.
Well, Martinelli, when Conte slipped, he passed the ball past Conte. He ran 1-on-1 to score against what's his name? Kepa, that can't even start for an intramural team at UBCO. So you guys want to celebrate that type of nonsense. And then now when it comes against, when we're going to perform against you guys, I mean, like I said, you guys deserve to win the game, but we can't, that game to me is an anomaly, because the refereeing was so bad and the refereeing decisions could easily have changed the game. Going down to 10 men, even a lot of fouls that he gave away, like Arsenal players barely got any yellow cards compared to Mason Mount getting a yellow card, and just different stupid decisions like that just ruined the game.
So the game at the Emirates in the Premier League, is that an anomaly? Is that one an anomaly?
That's not a final.
We are talking about the FA Cup final. You're bringing games that happened.
This energy was not there when whoever the ref was handed the game to you in December. So I don't know why everyone's being salty now. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care if Anthony Taylor handed us the trophy. You got outplayed. Arsenal deserved the trophy. Yeah, we're in Europa League, but we still defeated you in a final that you wanted your coach to win
All Corey is trying to say, even when you look down at it, the level of officiating in England is poor. Anthony Taylor, whoever, it's poor. Like, we all know the fact, but basically, what we expect in a high-profile game such as a final is that just don't make mistakes. You have VAR there for a reason. Yeah. You have all the support. Just if you're not sure of anything, you can always pause the game, like things like that. But yeah, as Corey said, you guys deserve to win. You guys played the better football, all of that. And secondly, as a Chelsea fan, like, I'm actually not even pained like that, because our key players weren't like around. We missed Kante, missed Willian, Pulisic came off injured.
Aspi.
Aspi, so surprising. Aspi never gets injured, and of all days,
I didn't understand that, man. Like,
of all days, even when he gave away a penalty, like, usually Aspi doesn't make errors like that. So I was just like, bro, today's not a day. But yeah, congrats to Arsenal, man. Totally deserved. Like, you guys played well. But yeah, looking forward to next season. Yeah,
you need to add to that too. Let's not forget that their goalie was out of the box, you know, when he came to
there was no he caught the ball inside the box.
Not inside the box.
Ball inside the box, though. VAR should see. Don't believe anything you see on Twitter, because pictures can be edited now and then. Go and watch the BT Sport whatever after the game. You would clearly see that he caught the ball on the line. And the line is part of the box, which is why they said it wasn't outside the box. That's what the VAR official said.
How was there no replay for that during the game? How was there?
VAR checked. VAR checked.
Okay, VAR checked. Fee.
To show the fans what had just happened. How can they just say that, like, the ref saw it and VAR saw it, and then we're good to go for a call like that? That's
true. You know, our main issue basically is that the game wasn't paused, and you know how when there's goal line technology, when they show you most of the ball cross the line. Or this one, they just told us, oh, the ball was on the line. Like, just, okay, let's just believe it. But when is a goal? You people know how to show 50% of the ball past the line. Like, or when it's offside.
Or when it's offside, they're showing us one millimeter.
Bro, they'll start doing Pythagoras theorem there. So I'm like, yo, they need to basically, I don't know what it is, but they just need to sharpen up their refereeing skills because, bro, they're poor, man. Yeah. They're poor.
Yeah,
for a big game, like I said, like I know Arsenal deserve to win because, like, from the game and everything they played well, to set them up well. My only issue was that for a final, at least, like, let things be clear. Go ahead.
Like, for example, right, the Kovacic red card. Like, that wasn't... bro, VAR has to rescind that decision because, bro, we're down to 10 men. There's no way we're going to outplay them. The free kick for Pedro. Pedro got fouled at the edge of the box. Marcos Alonso was going to take that thing in the net. I was confident. Marcos Alonso was going to clear that thing in the net. But, bro, they didn't give a free kick. Pedro now, after a couple moments later, he showed that we're down to 9 men. What do you want us to do with 9 men? So I'm like, bro, Anthony Taylor has to look at himself like he's a disgrace. His parents should be ashamed of him. He's a disgrace, honestly, man. Our guys.
I was waiting for him to take off his shirt and for me to see his Arsenal shirt underneath when the game was over because the refereeing was. I saw. You know, it's a problem when even Man United fans, I'm not, Funto, you probably know him, Goldbridge on Twitter too, also talking about it.
Goldbridge has an agenda against
Arsenal. No, but the thing is, everyone, like, bro, footballers were tweeting, like, Declan Rice tweeted. Yeah, so I'm like, it just shows for a fact that he just didn't have a grip of the game. He didn't have a hold of the game. And Faye... Faye knows all these things you are saying, but he doesn't want to agree. So,
I know, but I just don't care to be honest with you. Because
time
and time again this season, Arsenal have been ripped off by some very stupid decisions by referees. So, the one time something goes in my favor, I am definitely not going to complain.
To each their own, innit? But yeah, just one final point on Arsenal. I just wanted to ask for an opinion on what you think on Arteta and Aubameyang. Let me start with Aubameyang. It seems most likely that he's going to sign a deal. So, do you guys think it's going to be good for someone who is 32-year-old? Who's a 32-year-old?
31.
He's going to turn 32 this year. Or is he 30?
Next year.
Okay. Like, in this time and season, he needs to be getting, like, he needs to find a way to at least win one major trophy. Like, yeah, he won the FA Cup. It's the same thing as him winning DFB Pokal with Dortmund and everything. And he should, like, for a player of his quality, he should be aiming to win, like, one, at least one league title before he retires, basically.
I personally feel Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is the second best striker in the Premier League. And he's a bigger Arsenal legend than Robin van Persie. And him staying at Arsenal is the only, I feel like that's the only real option he has because, yeah, Barcelona might come for him, but is he going to start? Is he going to get as much minutes? Because they've got Griezmann, Suarez, Messi. They have a lot of attacking options. And you never know with Barcelona. They have Ousmane Dembele as well. So I feel like the only real deal he has right now is Arsenal. There's talk about Barcelona, Chelsea and all those things, but there's been no offer. The only team tabling an offer for him right now is Arsenal. And he's loved by the Arsenal fans. He's the captain. Obviously, he just won a cup. So I think all he needs right now is for the board to show him. And he likes Arteta as well. Like you see, after we won the game, he took a picture with the Arsenal Twitter posted a picture of him and Arteta, and he retweeted it.
And it's clearly my manager. Yeah.
So you can see he likes Arteta. So I just feel he wants to see the back end from the Arsenal board, and he's gonna stay. And when he stays, I feel like that is the first step in us moving forward. I'm not saying we're going to win the league next season. I'm not saying we're going to win the league in 2 years, but getting Aubameyang to sign is one of the things we need to do if we plan on improving, because if we don't, then that's just 4 steps backward.
So what about if he declines?
I don't think he's going to decline. That's what I'm saying. I don't think he's going to decline.
I mean, like, honestly, right? Aubameyang's quality, teams like line up to take him. Basically, just because the problem mainly is because most of the top teams, they all have strikers, like, doing well. But Aubameyang, let's say he signs, yeah, 3-year deal with Arsenal, more money. He's not going to win the league in 3 years. So if it is ambition that he's looking for, he knows he has to leave because the Juves will come. Like, Juventus will need a striker.
Yeah,
but Barca doesn't take. It's not hard for them to get rid of Suarez, and he'll go there. The only competition he knows is Madrid. Barca or Madrid is going to win the league, but for, in Premier, Arsenal is not even in the discussion in next 3 years. So, I think he should stay at Arsenal, basically help Arsenal. Like, you know, he, because if he stays, Arsenal too can attract better players. But if Oba leaves, who now wants to come to Arsenal? They're like, the main attraction is gone. I don't want to, you know, show up. So I think it's good for the league for Oba to stay. But first things, they won't do anything for him. Just highest goal scorers, he'll be packing.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you guys have said as well too. I think players like Aubameyang are great to have in the league just for their ability, right? First and foremost, I think what he does, I think his impact with Arsenal isn't in if he does sign, which I do think he will sign because of what.
He will.
I think he has limited options. I mean, limited options in terms of him having the same impact that he does in Arsenal, other clubs. But I do think that his role in signing is not for trophies. It's more along for the future of Arsenal as a club. I think that's where his legend is. Is not even, he might not, he's obviously not going to lift the Premier League anytime soon. He's not going to be lifting Champions League at all. But his impact, and I think that's what the Arsenal fans want to see, because they know that they're limited in those aspects in terms of, like, your trophy cabinet for the next year. Sure, you might win the FA Cup again, but I think Aubameyang being around there, you know, is great for team morale. It's great for Arteta. It's great for the fans, and it's great to bring to bring more players in next year, especially because now you guys have a European campaign to be excited for.
Yeah. All right. All points agreed too. So, so that was the FA Cup. As congratulations to Arsenal for winning the FA Cup. Just before we round up from this thing, we'll do a brief review of the transfer window. But yeah, this week we go back to the Champions League and Europa League, but this week we're going to be focusing on mainly the Champions League. So we have big matchups this week, Friday and Saturday. The first game, as usual, the first game that's a big one that's still, like, huge is the Madrid versus City game. So I just wanted to ask, like, based on the first leg, based on COVID-19, based on everything, how do you see the outcome of this game? Like, how do you see for Madrid versus City? How do you see, who do you think is going to be win? How do you see the game going around, basically?
I mean, it's pretty tough with, obviously, both teams are quality, but I think Madrid just edges it for me because I like Real Madrid. I've always loved Real Madrid, and I've been seeing how they play under Zidane, and they actually play quite good football, especially in the midfield. Like, they dominate the midfield in most of the games they play. It's Cruz, Modric, and Casemiro. So, and everybody knows that the Man City defense is looking suspect. So, if Madrid can, I don't know, does Madrid have Ramos? Is Ramos going to play?
Ramos is suspended.
If Ramos is suspended, then I don't see them going through.
And I think Mendy too is suspended.
Yeah. If Ramos is suspended, then City are going through.
Benjamin Mendy, not Fulham. Benjamin Mendy for City. So, yeah.
Yes. Okay. As long as Ramos is not playing, I don't see them going through.
I kind of agree with you. Like, Madrid, it's too like everything for them to go through. It has to be Benzema. If Benzema is not involved, they're not going through. But Hazard is coming, but
Depends on that as well.
Yeah, that's Hazard, the thing. Hazard is training, but I just think that City attack, like Madrid, you know, basically City doesn't have to come out to attack. They can just wait and hit these guys on the break. So
is their defense good enough to contain constant attacks on them though? Because like we said, Hazard is fully fit. You don't know the Hazard you're going to get. But if you get the best Hazard, that City defense is not going to cope with it.
The thing with City, as long as Laporte is playing, you can even play a robot beside him and they will do well. Like,
but Laporte played against Arsenal, though. And we're just feeding them with balls over at the top. And they were all suspect.
And counter.
See, exactly. I'll tell you something. Play that Arsenal City game over and over again. They will be like, see, Arsenal had a very good day. You know, defense was on point. Your goalkeeper, everything was going well for you. Arsenal cannot do that thing again and it work. Like, credit to you, but don't bring Arsenal here. This Champions League. What you people did was, you know, small boy stuff.
Nah, I'm just saying, Laporte is not enough for you to say that. With Laporte alone, just because City have Laporte, they can contain every single attack that Real Madrid
We've seen worse defenses win Champions League.
Yep.
So I'm not talking about like you must have company
the best defense
type, but yeah, you don't have to. The whole thing is City has the advantage because they have the away goals. All they need to do is just wait behind the ball and the pace of them, Sterling, bro, those guys will hurt anyone.
Yeah, I think another thing to realize is also the fact that Pep is tired of losing in the Champions League now with City, you know, so he has that added advantage. I mean, not to say that Zidane doesn't want to do it again, but I think this time around, like the players, like what we talked about, those are important. But I also think Pep, with everything that happened this season with the Premier League, FA Cup, he's not going to want to go down in the Champions League again, especially now that.
But guess what? Corey, that plays a disadvantage for him because me knowing Pep for many years, that man will overthinker and start playing another formation.
But he has had enough time.
He's had a lot of time. You know what I mean? I think COVID gave this guy a lot of time. We all knew Liverpool were going to win the Premier League and his focus this season is on the Champions League. So, I'm hoping he's learned from his mistakes, but I think Pep is also smart enough to realize, like, look, I know how to beat Madrid and that's exactly what I'm going to try to do. So, I think it's going to be a very close game, but I do see City just edging it, especially because of the realization that Ramos is suspended. So because of that, I think it would be a travesty for City not to win, to be honest. I think that would be
in very good space.
Yo, Punto, is Aguero training?
Aguero is not fit.
Okay.
Aguero is not fit. It's most like it's I highly doubt he'll be on the squad.
Yeah, I don't think
he's definitely not going to play.
I mean, bro, there's KDB. We keep forgetting.
I forgot. Best midfielder in the world at this point, honestly. But yeah,
surprised if Pep doesn't start him.
Pep doesn't start him?
Don't be surprised. Do not be surprised.
Yeah, that guy can act for
me. Do not be surprised.
Very true, man.
Pep just thinks a lot. That's why it just makes me mad. Because if he doesn't start KDB that day, what are you doing? You're already losing the game.
Yeah, like you said, you just want him to sit back. So he will just stack Gundogan, Rodri, and Fernandinho in the midfield.
That would be the most disgusting.
Gundogan, Rodri. That looks like just forward, sideways.
That's the thing. Yeah, those guys can just frustrate Madrid into mistakes. And who knows?
As well, that's what I'm saying. But for our next matchup will be the Juve versus Lyon game. I want to say that first of all, I think Juve is coming from two different sides, who are in two different situations. Lyon haven't played a competitive game last Sunday, which is just like 2 days ago, and now they're about to play Juve, who have been playing games for a long while. But Juve are in such a bad spot. Like, I kind of don't understand what is going on with them.
Sarri is what is going on with them.
Sarri, that man might lose. I
genuinely don't understand. But, like, you watch Juventus and you say, what's the system? What are you playing?
Yeah, what's going on here? I struggle with them.
Severally, you watch Juventus games and it's just a penalty that saves them. Or Ronaldo's brilliance or Dybala's brilliance, like, there's no set system to see how Juventus are playing. And I mean, they have Ronaldo, so I'm obvious. And you know, Ronaldo is my coach, so I'm going to pick them to qualify. But it's a bit of a sticky one still.
The thing with Sarri, I think Pam can also testify to this. The thing with Sarri is that Sarri's extremely stubborn, right? So he's like the complete opposite to Guardiola, where he doesn't tinker with anything. Like, something might not be working. This is what was really frustrating as a Chelsea fan, especially where he becomes very, very predictable in what he does, and then teams find him. Like, when we would see the Kovacic Barkley substitution 17 minutes into the game, you would see, you know, Jorginho is going to do what he does as usual. And I think the thing with Sarri is that those players at Juve are fantastic, but the system that he's playing them in is not what they're supposed to be doing. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, I still think Juve are going to qualify.
Against Lyon? Lyon looks like, Lyon, first of all, like, they have a lot to fight for because they didn't qualify for Europe because, like, the league was cancelled for them. Then also they lost the Copa, the Coupe de France, which was like just last 2 days ago, which would have made them qualify for Europe. So they are trying their best to get the Champions League final, which obviously they can't.
Yeah.
All no disrespect to them, but like they have a lot to play for, and they have a 1-0 lead to go into the game as well too.
I agree with, and I get what you're saying, but like what Faye said, bro, Ronaldo is there. That's the thing for me that I'm just like, you know what?
Exactly. You can say Ronaldo is finished, Ronaldo is dead, but when it comes to the Champions League, you bet on Ronaldo.
So I'm not surprised. I won't be surprised if he has a hat trick in that game, you know, to make sure that they qualify. Like, I think.
Oh, he didn't play in the last game, in Juve's last game of the season, like the one they lost yesterday, 2 days ago. He didn't play. Mm-hmm. Like, he literally said, I'm going to rest and all of that.
Yeah.
So it looks like a sign of him just resting and all of that, but like in terms of Juve
for that game, so
yeah. So we're all betting on Juve to really qualify.
Nah, I'm going for Lyon.
Really?
Yeah. Why? I'm going for Lyon. I don't know. I just feel like Lyon, if they play that 3-5-2 well, and they, you know, match up Juve's midfield.
Yeah.
All they just need to do is just like be hopeful that they can also score a goal. I think if Lyon can score one goal.
I think they have Jeff and Memphis back.
Adelaide, I don't know if he's back, but I know Memphis is back. I know Moussa Dembele is fit. Everyone is around. So I think they just need to be careful. Like, because I trust in Lyon. I know they can, like, bro, Memphis outside the box. I know that guy can just turn up and, you know. No, I'm betting on Lyon.
You're betting on Lyon. Corey and Faye, you guys bet on Juve.
Yeah, I'm going Juve.
Because of Ronaldo.
Yes, sir.
So, side note, you think Sarri is going to continue this season? Because it looks like it might. Because, I mean, he won them the league.
He didn't win them the league. The players won them the league.
We know that, but in terms of it, like, it seems like nobody else is like.
Bro, the league is Juve's. Like, it's unless Juve does not want to win.
And yeah, they almost lost it this year, but they lost hearing, like 1 point.
You're hearing the rumors about Antonio Conte. So who knows? Maybe a story could be building up there. Maybe
Conte going.
Conte going back to Juve.
No, it won't happen.
Conte literally drilled that Inter team to.
No, but there's rumors that he's leaving, you know.
Yeah. There's rumors that Conte might leave Inter, true. But he's not
going
back to Juve. He won't go back to Juve. Yeah. Basically, people forget Juve appointed Sarri because everyone was, you know, attacking football. That's the way forward in Europe. So if they would take anyone, it would be Poch.
And with those kind of players.
Exactly, with those kind of players too. Like,
Fair enough.
Conte will just make Ronaldo start playing one funny position.
In 3-5-2.
Conte guy plays some less ball.
True, bro. He played Loftus Cheek as a striker, and I wanted to scream.
No, Conte. We're just talking about the kind of players Conte just wants to sign. It's just confusing. Ashley Young, Victor Moses, all this. I don't know the right word.
Vidal, fighters. He just likes fighters.
He doesn't need techie players, man.
He wants people in the army, bro. Because me, I don't understand. I don't understand what they're competing for with those type of players. But you know what?
They're about to sign Alexis as well too. I don't even know why. Yeah, like a lot of things. Go ahead.
I don't know what juju he sprinkled inside Victor Moses's pandit yam, but whatever he did, yeah. So it works for him. It works for his system. So
I don't know. To each their own, honestly. But Ashley Young, Victor Moses, all those kind of players, is his own problem. But
like you said, I actually think Sarri, if he loses to Lyon, he might get sacked.
Yeah, it looks like it. I think so.
Like he has to go at least, at least like semis, like even quarterfinals won't be safe for him.
Yeah, but yeah, I want to speak on the Chelsea game, but I don't think we have anything to speak on it. But like the Bayern Munich Chelsea game.
If it was not a myth before, it's just worse now because, I mean, no Willian, no Pedro, no Pulisic, no Azpilicueta.
I just want to see academy grads give it 100%. Yeah, bro. That's all.
Honestly.
I don't even mind not even fielding any senior players. Like, I just want... we should just put up a fight. Like, even if we score one goal, you know, just for whatever sake, at least to say that we scored a goal. But obviously, we know we are going out. Yeah, but I just want, you know, let's just see the future.
Yeah.
All right. Then the last matchup for this week, we're going to look at them before we look at the entirety of it. We have the Napoli-Barca game. Napoli are, let's say, on a high. Like, they won the Coppa d'Italia. They won the... did they qualify for Europe? I think they did through the Europa League or something like that, to the Europa League. And it looks like
they came... Did Milan finish above them? Or does winning the cup qualify them for Europa?
Yeah, I think the cup might have qualified them for Europa, but they came seventh, so it most likely they didn't qualify for Europe through the league.
Because I know their league position, they didn't do too well.
Yeah, because I know, I don't know if I think they qualified for Europe through the cup. But anyways, like Napoli are in a good form. I would say good form under Inzaghi and everything. He's turned things around for them. Then on the other side, Barca are just a mess from top to bottom. And I just, like, for me, on my own opinion, I see Napoli taking it. I don't know why.
Nah. But, Gattuso is not that great of a coach yet. Like, bro, Messi's brilliance you just showed. Like, Barcelona know, like, they lost the league. You heard what Messi said on the last day they played. I think Barca players, they know, like, it's all or nothing right now. They need to win something. So, I think Barca takes this one for me.
I agree.
You think Barca takes it?
I'm definitely going with Napoli. Napoli is going to knock Barcelona out.
I'm going with Barca.
Why do you think Napoli for you?
Because Barcelona is a mess. It's almost the same thing with Juve. It's just at this point in time, Messi's brilliance is not enough to pull them through. I mean, that Quique Setién or whatever his name is, I do not know why he was appointed, but
he's a Cruyffist.
Barcelona have played one of the worst. It's like the worst Barcelona team I've ever seen in my life because you literally watch them and you're like, what the hell is going on here? The attack is messy. The midfield is messy. The defending is messy. There's no system. There's nothing. It's just... And if you watch the first game, you'd see that Napoli dominated the game. At the first part, obviously, they didn't take their chances and Barcelona came back into it. Hello? So, I don't know. But I'm going with Napoli, maybe because I don't like Barcelona.
GM. Yo, could you come again? The line was cutting.
Where exactly?
You just said the Messi thing, like the defense was messy, all of it.
Yeah, like, everything. They are overly reliant on Messi and... Like you said, Napoli is on the high and they played pretty well in the first game. I think they were unlucky not to win. So, I'm sticking with Napoli. I think they'll pull through.
They'll go through. Wow. Yeah, I really think Napoli have a chance to go through. Because, like, this Setién guy is because they appointed him because of him going to learning. You know how Barca fans, they feel like they
sure.
are old sweet football and Cruyff football and everything. So for years and that, so they're just like, okay, he doesn't play like Cruyff, he should go. But Valverde was, they sacked Valverde while he was first in the league, which doesn't make sense. You sack a manager while he's first in the league because of the style of football he's played.
Oh, well, the fans just don't agree with Valverde's football.
They're in a transition now. Most of these old players that used to depend on are now very, very old and they don't have the legs to carry out.
It's not like their recruitment is helping matters as well.
At all.
The guy like Arthur being sold for peonage. I mean, what's next?
Forget, like, this is just a one-off game. And after this, every other round is just one-off. Like, bro, this mini UEFA tournament or Champions League.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised, even if
they make it past Napoli, though. I don't see them getting past City. Don't see them getting past Chelsea. Yeah, Bayern Munich.
Bro, the Ronaldo thing. It's the same thing for Messi. Like, these guys can just change games on their own. They can be playing badly and anything can just happen. So that's why I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So if we're looking at the whole bracket, we have the picture of the bracket, like the breakdown of how things are going to go. We have Man City, Real Madrid. So I remember Man City or Real Madrid versus Juve and Lyon. So we have a potential Ronaldo reunion and everything like that, or City just beating Lyon, because I don't see any other situation. But here's the thing. I don't see, like, look at now. We have Barca here. We have Barca versus Napoli. So if Barca make it through, they meet Bayern. Bayern, who are obviously like the best team in Europe at this point now.
I do not see them beating Bayern Munich at all.
No way.
0%.
It's not even in the realm of possibility. Like,
at all. Like, I don't even think it's possible.
Yeah.
Bayern are looking very dangerous, man.
Very, very sweet, bro.
Like, they finished league since. So.
Yeah.
They've had a rest. They haven't played friendlies, all of them.
Well-rested Lewandowski. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think Tolisso is... But, yo, they got some injuries. So, like, Pavard is out, I think, until the end.
Yeah, but they got Odriozola as well.
But I think Kimmich will play right back because Tolisso is back.
Yeah.
And Goretzka was on fire before the league ended.
Yeah.
And is Coman back from injury?
Coutinho is back. Sule is back.
Can Coutinho play?
Yeah, Coutinho can play.
Okay.
So they have a full squad, honestly, at this point, apart from Pavard. It looks like
coming out that.
Yeah, but it looks like if we look at the pictures of the bracket we have on the other side, we have already the settled games, which is the RB Leipzig, the Atleticos, the Atlanta PSG. So for the RB Leipzig, like, let's just do a quick roundup on those ones. But RB and Atletico, who do you think comes out on top?
The last team of Verona, man. So you go and go with Atletico.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I want RB Leipzig to go through, but Cholo, that guy is just going to. I don't know.
I love RB Leipzig. They're one of my favorite teams, but I don't see them beating Atletico without Timo Werner.
But they have this guy like Schick. Schick stepped up.
Patrick Schick is not doing anything.
He stepped up towards the end of the season. Like, he was playing very well.
No, but in terms of how they play, they need like a fast player. Like,
they need that pace up front.
They need that pace up front.
Atletico is going to frustrate them, you know. So they need somebody.
Yeah,
exactly.
But the thing, even there's no space to run because, you know, Atletico is setting a low block. So
very
there's no place for your pace to.
It's a very bad matchup for Leipzig.
Yeah, and you know one thing, Cholo looks like Cholo has suddenly looks like he's gonna edge out and probably get to.
He can actually reach the final. And I think he has the more experienced squad. Like, most of these guys have played even in a Champions League final before.
Yeah.
So I think you have your Costas, you have your Moratas, like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Saul. These guys are good. I think they can actually do something.
Yeah. But my matchup, honestly, the one I'm really looking forward to is Atlanta PSG.
Yeah. I was looking forward to it until I heard the news about Ilicic.
Mbappe. Ilicic towards his end of the season was not playing.
Nah, but you actually, do you think he can still play?
I don't think he's going to play. I think Atlanta have confirmed that he's not going to play.
That's messed up, man.
What happened to Ilicic?
His wife cheated on him and he became
His rumors. Apparently, rumors is not true.
Hmm. Are you sure?
That's what I'm saying.
If you don't see him in that lineup, sure.
Yo, why so? I think he can even make the bench. Like,
yeah, he can. But like towards the end of the season, Ilicic was not playing.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Like, and they still look good. Like, as far as I'm concerned,
those guys are still like, scoring. Yo, those guys are still scoring. Like, scoring. They still played well.
I think PSG have got this, you know.
Mbappe is out.
I don't think PSG has this, bro.
I think Atlanta going through.
Yeah.
The thing with PSG, I mean, they obviously rely on Mbappe heavily, and I don't see. And the thing with Atlanta is that they're like a unit. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, team plays, so they're so concise together and play very good football together. And I think with PSG, any slight tweak with a player like Mbappe destroys the fluidity and the unity of the team. And I think Atlanta definitely, especially with how good they've been this season, are going to go through.
And I also think, you know how, remember when PSG played Dortmund in Champions League this season?
Mm-hmm.
And Dortmund played with the three at the back, first leg, like they looked very well. And you saw all they needed to do, just follow Neymar. Everything comes through Neymar. As long as you can limit Neymar, like, you have a very good fighting chance. And on the other end of the field too, like, PSG's defense isn't even good.
And Thiago has left.
PSG's defense is...
I think he's still going to play. I think he might play. Because, like, he'll have to finish this season. And
is Meunier still there?
No, Meunier left. Meunier left to Dortmund. So, there's some kid they're playing at left back. He used to play for Ajax before. So I'm like, and I think he's right footed. You know, this guy too, their coach can be funny. Like,
Thomas Tuchel.
Tuchel. Weird. So I don't trust, like, defensively, I don't trust PSG.
That's one thing. Because I still see that as a proper matchup and everything. And, you know, they have a potential to meet, like, even like, there's a potential of Atletico PSG. And it looks like it's the kind of games Cholo really loves, like Atletico himself. Like, he has the potential to meet PSG or Atlanta in the semifinal.
That guy, I promised never to disrespect him after I saw what he did to Liverpool.
There was no point of him disrespecting, because the only person that has been stopping Atletico from going through
is the goal.
It's Ronaldo that has been stopping Atletico from going through. So now that he has a chance, and there's the only person that can stop him again is still potentially Ronaldo, but from the other side. Or and there's a chance, because like I still believe, like, I don't know why they cancelled the Ballon d'Or. Like, this was probably Neymar's year as well too. So
I don't know if Lewandowski.
Yeah, it was either Neymar or Lewandowski.
Yeah, Lewandowski was crazy this year.
Yeah. But yeah, in potentials, who do you think is going to win the Champions League this year? Knowing that this is now a one game situation and all of that.
Me, I'm going Bayern.
Bayern?
Yeah.
You just have to go with Bayern, because they have answers for everyone.
Yeah.
So I can't see past Bayern. I'd love to say City. On Bayern.
Yeah, City have a potential to meet Bayern in the semi-final as well too. So
yeah, I'm also going for Bayern. I think, like, they also have, like, former Champions League winners in this same squad. So
yeah,
and Lewandowski hasn't won the Champions League, so you know he's hungry for it.
Exactly. That's the only thing eluding him. So I think, yeah, Bayern. But on the other end, Atleti for me. Like, I think Bayern will meet Atleti in the final.
Bayern Atleti for the final.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay, who else thinks about, like, for their own potential final matchup?
I won't buy in PSG.
Buy in PSG?
I want that.
The thing with that is that I would want Bayern PSG as well, but Mbappe has a lateral ligament sprain, so he's out for at least 3 weeks.
And rehabilitation as well, too.
There's rehab as well. They want to prepare for next season. So because of that, I'm also agreeing with Pat. I'm going to go Bayern Athletic in the final. I think Bayern are going to win.
Yeah, I really think Bayern can win, but I still believe like someone from the bracket of Madrid, Man City, Juve, and Lyon have a chance as well too. Like for me, my top three is Bayern, PSG, and City, because City really look like they've saved all their energy for the Champions League from time. So they look like a team that I see might win, but honestly, my front runners are still Bayern as well too.
It will also be nice for Atletico to finally win the
Champions League. I think they've really tried
like in past couple of years. So I think, I want them to win, but like my heart wants them to win, but my head is saying Bayern.
It's Bayern. But yeah, just the final roundup before we go. We're just going to look at the quick transfers and everything. First one I want to ask is the Willian to Arsenal FC. I want to know what the plan behind that is as well.
He can go.
I hope you're not asking me because I don't know. I've been trying to find out since morning. I don't know. Cracked my head. About experience, blah, blah, blah. I don't care about Willian's experience. he's just another agent sent from Chelsea to ruin my great club. And as you can see, some of their previous agents have been very successful. Quote, unquote, Peter Cech. And
I gave you FA Cup.
It's all part of the plan to make it look like Chelsea is not sending them. There's no way. Like, this is Arsenal cannot sign Willian. I'm not hearing this experience.
But you know, Fabrizio just already stood about it today, man.
This thing has been in the works for a long time.
Yeah.
Sorry? Yeah.
We've all known for a long time that Willian is going to end up at Arsenal probably because he did not want to accept the 2-year deal Chelsea gave him.
Yeah.
And Arsenal is offering him 3 years
with an option for
31-year-old.
Listen. Bro, we can't, like, why I don't look at age anymore like before is because Vardy was top goal scorer. He's like 32.
33.
Look at Oba. Look at Aguero. Like, even with science, these guys have shown that, like, they keep their bodies well, etc. And Willian is a very fit player.
Half this season, I've watched Chelsea fans have meltdowns about Willian.
After the restart, Pulisic and Willian were our best players.
And they missed out. Like, against Arsenal, they would have been useful to.
We had Willian against Arsenal, I don't think we will have lost that game. I don't think so.
Yeah.
All right.
Bro, Willian's agent as well. Kia. Yeah, Kia has links with your boy Edu. So.
Not even Edu. I think it's
Don Raul.
Don Raul.
Arsenal and all the. You're getting Coutinho also, thanks to the Brazilian connect. So
you see, the thing is, I don't mind us getting Coutinho because Coutinho is a player that we do not have in the sense that we lack creativity and we rely heavily on Pepe to bring that.
But so, that would be a good time for you to use Willian. Willian looks like a player that could help you in the center.
You have Willian on the left, Pepe on the right, and Oba down the middle,
I think that's not bad.
And then you have Martinelli coming off the bench or starting some games.
Saka.
Bro, that's good, man.
Yeah, I personally just want us to get Thomas Partey. I feel like he is the key to Arsenal moving forward because if we have another season of Lucas Torreira, I am going to lose my mind. And
The thing is that you guys are bulking on a fee. You're saying 25 million plus one player, and Atletico is like,
it's all part of negotiations. Like, it's the same way United bulked on Maguire and paid 80 million at the end of the day. And Arsenal did the same thing with Kieran Tierney last season, paid 25 million at the end of the day. Your first bid should not just opened. Like, if your first bid is lower than the expected one and it's accepted, all well and good. But majority of the time, first bids are usually rejected because they're just testing the water. So I won't be shocked if we get him. Same time, I won't be shocked if we do not get him.
I think you get him because
it looks like
literally the only club in the running for him.
Which doesn't make sense because every other club should be in the running. Chelsea, United, I don't even know because he's a top player. But yeah, the next person I'd like to talk is Kai Havertz. Kai Havertz looks certain to be in the Leverkusen squad for the Europa League upcoming games.
Mm-hmm.
But he looks like he's pushing for a move and all of that. But the problem is agreement for a fee.
There, I mean, Havertz is a Chelsea player. They're gonna they want him. They obviously want him playing in Europa. They want Chelsea to match their valuation for him. Mm-hmm. However, like we were saying earlier, they're gonna test the waters. The thing too is that like Chelsea have an amazing negotiator in Marina. You know, she's
the best I respect her
to play ball with. So the Havertz signing is pretty much all about confirmed. I'm just waiting for Fabrizio to just say those three words, and I'm like.
Yeah.
I agree with Corey. Also, I think Havertz wants to come, which is the positive in all of this. Like, so I just want him to get done with his Europa, or because I don't think Leverkusen is going to win the Europa. Like, if they win the Europa League, then they have leverage. They have leverage in negotiations. So let's let them just get knocked out. So we just finalize this thing.
Yeah. All right. Then I have two more. We have the City. City signed Ferran Torres. City have already agreed terms and everything. And it looks like it's finalized. We're just waiting for official announcement. But City signed Ferran Torres and Nathan Ake for a combined less than 50 million or around 50 million, which is quite good business, honestly.
It's about 68 million.
After add-ons and possible 58 fees.
Million, sorry, yeah. 58,
yeah, but that's
million.
Good for two players.
Yeah.
For two players that are not going to be starters.
Why are they signing Nathan Ake, though?
For two bench players.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were signing somebody to partner Laporte. So, why Nathan Ake?
So, who are they going to sign to partner Laporte?
Two of them are left-footed centre-back.
No, man. I'm not saying
they'll sign someone else. They'll sign someone else. Yeah, that's City for you. Like, bro, don't be surprised, Koulibaly, they signed that guy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised at all. I think Ake is there for
them backup.
To have a solid defender, you know, so...
Yeah.
And he can also play. He can also play left-back sometimes, Ake. He's comfortable playing left-back.
Yeah.
So that means they're not going for Alaba anymore.
They can still get, bro. It's Pep. Like, he wants all those players. Like,
Alaba is going to cost another like 30 million, which is quite cheap, honestly.
Yeah, he's not. He's refusing to sign. So
yeah, but another person I would like to just speak about quickly is Thiago. What do you guys think of Thiago's movement right now? Like,
Thiago.
I've always felt he was one of the most underrated midfielders of our time.
I felt he was overrated, boy, because like he's
overrated.
Just like, he looks like he's good, like he's world class, but he was just over. Like all we just see was him from was just his movement or like trickery and all of that. But in terms of everything, like I just felt like he was too overrated, and he like in the big games he was not. He was not like
the problem is that he moved to Bayern. If he stayed in Barca,
yep.
I think, but the problem is the competition ahead of him was just too much at that time.
Yeah, there was Xavi, Iniesta.
Yeah, so he had to leave. And then in the Champions League, Bayern weren't really doing much. But, bro, that guy is...
If Thiago goes to Liverpool, that is a different problem.
Yep, because the thing with Thiago is that I think Thiago's really, really going to shine in the Premier League because his technicality is disgusting. Like
it's ridiculous.
Like he's one of those players that like you know everybody will want to watch just because of how he moves the ball, how he controls the ball, the tempo of the game. How
you know he can play as a DM as well, too, like a sitting DM.
Yes.
Imagine now Liverpool, right? As they are now, to have Thiago lining up in the center of the midfield is just bro, I can't even.
It's just something different. It's something different because I mean, they wouldn't have that. Would take some pressure off Trent and Robertson as well. It just makes them be completely different
from
team.
Their midfield. I don't think they have any like whether we like it or not. Henderson is a PMP. He's just white.
Yes.
Wijnaldum PMP. It's the only kid Naby that has a little bit of gout, but but that even him, he's always injured. So
Fabinho has range. Fabinho has range as well.
But no, Fabinho is literally
like
Fabinho
there's nothing he can do from DM like that.
Yeah, but in terms of Thiago, you're talking about Naby's situation with injuries. Thiago is also very injury prone, you know.
But if they have more numbers, limit the injuries.
Exactly. If Thiago's prone, Liverpool is the same team that they were this season. You know what I mean? If he's injured, they're the same team, so they're fine. That addition, I think, also for other Premier League teams. Seeing Thiago in that Liverpool squad,
it's a scary sight.
It's a very, very scary sight because technically this guy can make you look so stupid, you know, and he's still a baller. He's still skillful. There's a lot he can do in the game. So I think
like he said, he can play as a deep line playmaker. So you can still have the two workhorses beside him in Wijnaldum and Henderson.
Jesus Christ. Okay, I see
and,
that.
You know, even the whole thing of after winning the league, you always have to improve. That is a good improvement on what they currently have. Because how many, who else can Liverpool get? This is like the best signing I think they can have.
Yeah. I feel you. Yeah, then the last one is Jadon Sancho as well too. I know. You hate to see it. Why?
You just hate to see it. He's overrated anyways. The agenda must begin.
I'm kind of siding with you on that. And the agenda must begin. I'll tell you why after.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Let's hear it.
Okay. So, United gets Sancho. Well, you know, lovely Manchester boy returns, whatever. Sancho is not United's problems. Creativity down the sides is not United's problems. Scoring goals, that's not United's problems. Mm-hmm. We know what your problems are. So you'll probably just have more goals, but you still concede more. Your midfield will be balanced.
That's the point. So, United is going to buy another defender and an extra midfielder.
My question is who are you going to buy?
For what? For which position?
For as your defender.
For defender,
Gabriel.
I don't know. There's Gabriel there from Lille. There's some other players in the market, honestly. Everyone wants to sell.
The problem is these guys can turn out to be another Lindelof. He can turn out to be another,
Maguire.
Dalot. Even Maguire. So I'm there's no guarantees there. We know Sancho can do the job up top. He's an England international, whatever.
But here's the thing. You lot have not watched enough of Daniel James to understand why we need Sancho.
No, definitely. The right-hand side. The right-hand side is...
Because also understand that we have Wan-Bissaka there. So going attacking-wise, going forward from the right side is so difficult because here's the point. All they know is that pack the left side. And you switch, and United obviously switch to the right side, but there is no attacking. The attacking threat there is little. It's not there.
But have you seen what Sancho does with what he was doing with Hakimi on the right?
Yeah, I know the overlapping and all of that.
So you don't have it, and the league is not as open as Germany. So Sancho's numbers are not going to be identical.
Obviously, they're
still
going to be.
That's the thing. I'm not worried. Pay 100 million, the ball will not even...
I would see, don't get me wrong, Jadon Sancho is absolute quality, but if he has a Nicolas Pepe first season, do not be surprised.
I was about to say, I would not be surprised if Jadon Sancho...
Faye, he's going to have it, Tef.
It doesn't take anything away from his quality. He's an outstanding player, but I won't be surprised if he has a Nicolas Pepe first season.
I think the thing with Sancho, and I love Sancho as a player. I would take him in Chelsea in a heartbeat. But I do think that the Premier League, obviously, like we said, is completely different to the German league. And I think he's going to struggle a bit. I think he's going to have his moments of brilliance, of course, you know. Uh-huh. But I do think like what you said in the long run, I think he's going to need at probably two seasons. For us, he can really do, but that's fine. He's what, 19 years old, you know, so it's completely okay.
I mean, it's just signing for the long run, and by the time
it is, but you know, we also don't want him to be a player like Depay. You know, we don't want him to be a player.
Yeah, let's also hope the price tag doesn't weigh down on him because
exactly. And the number 7 as well.
Exactly. Oh, so they are saving 7 for him.
They sold Sanchez now.
Alexis is gone. Alexis was gone today. Because Alexis went for a free. They're just paying his full wages. So that's one. Yeah, because if we do not allow Alexis to go, for the last 2 years, we're paying almost 60 million euros in wages. So they just said, just get out. We'll cancel your contract. Wow. And that was it.
Maybe we paid him off.
No. Instead Inter of us paying, Inter is paying the wages. So it's just a transfer. Okay. Or something like that.
Yeah. So maybe Inter won't pay a transfer fee.
Yeah, Inter did not pay a fee at all.
Well, I still think United, you need like a Jimenez, like you need a striker with different dimension to.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think striker is the problem, you know.
I still think you need I think you need the Jimenez at the back, bro. Like that.
Yes, oh,
the athletic one.
My biggest problem is Nemanja Matic. Like,
yep,
he can just turn from Matic to static. Like, you know how very slow he is. You're not sure the Matic you're going to get. The Matic you're going to get. If you get the one post lockdown, that's very fine. But if you get the other one we're seeing before United got Bruno, then that's another problem. And another problem I think is Luke Shaw. And many people don't agree with me, but I think if United want to compete with City and Liverpool, they Luke Shaw cannot be their starting left back.
I don't know. Luke Shaw looked good to me this season. I don't know if it was just me. Like
It was okay. It was okay.
Pam, is that he was better than his usual travesty. That's just
exactly.
He's not a great left back or anything like that. He's all right.
Yeah, it looks like that. But just one last thing. I know that there are links to Reguilon for Chelsea today, and I'm glad you lot are not going to spend money on Chilwell because I still think he's a tad overrated because he's English and all. So I would urge you to go against signing Chilwell, but that's what it is, honestly. So I think that should round up any other shows. Does anyone have anything to say? Are we good?
Good, man. Thank you.
I think for Chelsea, we just need, like, honestly, we need new centre-backs. Like,
how about them?
We need at least 4 new defenders, bro.
Rudiger.
It's like watching an era boy in Imakoko kick a soccer. It's actually the most frustrating thing I think I've ever had to witness. I mean, no, Kepa in the back.
We also need to change that guy. Like, honestly. I don't insult players or anything, but come on. Like, I think Kepa is going through personal stuff and he should just carry his wahala and go.
Yeah. Kepa is not going through personal stuff. Kepa cannot keep, bro.
Kepa cannot keep the ball, bro.
Kepa cannot keep. There's a difference between having personal stuff and moving and like your positioning being bad as a goalkeeper. Like, that's just being good.
It's so hard to get rid of him because of his
weight. Yeah. And 7-year contracts.
7 years.
See, Chelsea. Sometimes, like as well as we love Marina, sometimes she can. The whole Alisson thing is.
I think the Kepa deal was rushed, you know,
because of Courtois
and everything, and it was the period. It was the first time that the Premier League had decided to end their season, their transfer window, when the season started.
Yeah, so that was one.
I think that's why they just rushed the whole deal.
And it was also because of the Alisson signing.
Yeah.
Because we were in Alisson. We didn't want to pay the full
60-something.
Liverpool decided to do that. I think it was 68 million or something.
Yeah, 65 around that.
Goalkeeper from Athletic Bilbao. I'm wondering who in the world is this guy, you know? But then now,
see, Kuri, I don't think you're taller than him. Oh, no, I even think you're taller than our keeper. Like, what kind of keeper is short? Like, that guy is not tall.
And when he jumps, like, he's not jumping anywhere, you know? And because obviously, the thing with Kepa is like the guy decides that he doesn't want to dive, you know, which is it makes me want to punch my TV every time I watch Chelsea play, but. And then when he dives for the ball too, it looks like he's just stretching his hands in church for some. I don't understand what exactly it is that he wants to do, but The links to keepers like Onana, you know, I'll take him in a heartbeat from Ajax. Like that one,
Someone said black goalkeepers are not really the best, y'all.
I beg.
Kind of talk is that?
I'll take Anyema at Chelsea. I have to because I can't.
Yeah, the stats show, bro. But honestly, man, anyone else right now is better than Kepa.
If Chelsea get, let's say, all black. Can they then get defenders, or can they then get the quality defenders that they need? Because the way it's looking,
see, a run by a Russian billionaire. When it comes to money,
bro, aren't they? They haven't bought in FFP, right?
They relaxed FFP this year, so it's if they take money, so like they can get the habits and two defenders and probably one goalkeeper.
And don't forget right? Like you can structure the deal. You guys have seen what Barca are doing.
Even United,
what they're doing for Sancho is quite it's a structured deal. So it's gonna be like the whole fee will be based on add-ons and installments. So they'll probably pay like 60 million euros this year. Then
PSG 20 Mbappe as well.
Exactly, too. Loan with obligation to buy the next season as well, too.
Exactly. So I think the we can do something like that nice. But I even want to stay in. Like I like I don't know why.
Yeah, he hasn't signed a contract with Barcelona.
For real?
He's really good. Yeah, he hasn't, and he's really good with his feet. He's really good.
And he's a Germany international. I don't know. Yeah. We're becoming Germany FC, so I don't mind if he comes, man.
Yeah. If Chelsea signed Ter Stegen, I'm not watching Premier League next season.
Chelsea signing a world class keeper completely changes, even if our defense stays the same, which I pray to God Almighty it doesn't, but having a good goalkeeper in the back helps us incredibly.
Well, it gives us at least 10 points, guaranteed, at least.
Yeah. And it could somewhat improve your defense, in the sense that they will be a lot more organized.
If push comes to shove and we don't even decide to, I mean, obviously we need to, but if for some reason we don't buy any new defenders, which I don't even think. I think Frank Lampard would die of high blood pressure before. if we don't sign any defenders, buying a world class keeper saves us a lot for sure.
Yo, honestly, that world class keeper thing is such a big deal because corner kicks for Chelsea have been a problem, all because Kepa is short, so he cannot come out and point the ball. Basically, all people do is just surround him. And just take it far post. You score Chelsea. Everyone does it against us. So I'm like, honestly, we need to get rid of that guy, man.
So, but one question about Chelsea, though. What are we saying about Loftus-Cheek? Do you keep him? Because he's almost 25 years old.
Of course,
he's almost 25 years old and he hasn't done anything.
But don't forget, last season, Loftus-Cheek was, brilliant until he got injured.
Yeah.
So it's just his injuries that have really hampered him. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, Chelsea, he's an academy grad. We didn't pay anything for him.
Yeah.
Push comes to shove. We have better midfielders. We'll just make a profit on him in like 2 seasons.
Make a profit on Ross Barkley as well.
No, but the thing people have to understand, this is like physio coming in now. The thing with Loftus-Cheek's injury is that I think what might have happened because he had an Achilles injury, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was out for a long period of time. He was meant to return. COVID happened, right? So the thing is that, like, when you have players that get injured, they make their rehab plans. It's tailor made for those players to come back to match fitness. Do you know what I mean? To be ready to go once ready to go right before COVID happened. That happens. You don't play for a minute. You don't play for a while. When you're not playing again, because he could be running in the pool. He could be doing whatever he wants to do. If you're not kicking ball, you're going to lose fitness again.
He's apparently injured again. Frank said something like that.
Yeah. That's why he wasn't in the squad for the FA Cup final. But that's what I'm saying. People really have to understand. The same thing, too, that happened with Hudson-Odoi, right? He also had a really bad injury. And people always undermine just how bad it is. And especially because we don't want players to come back from injuries too early and then they re-injure again because it's worse for them in the long run. So when you see players like Tomori, who hasn't featured, it's because Frank knows that, like, okay, our defense is already a calamity. Let me not rush this player back from injury, and then play him, and then he gets re-injured, and we're completely screwed. So if I think next season will give us a better idea of understanding just his value. If mm-hmm. if Loftus Cheek, which I think, I honestly think, which I love, the competition at midfield next season is going to be really high. I mean, I hope we get rid of players like Jorginho and Ross Barkley and all those deadweight players. But, like, I do think that he's going to perform. I think he's going to perform a lot better than he did this season. And I think also the introduction of players like Havertz, Werner, and I think...
Godwin.
I guess Godwin. I think that would definitely ignite a fire in them to perform with those injuries.
All right, guys. All right. Yeah, I think that concludes our show for today. Thank you very much, guys, for another episode. Thank you, guys, for coming out to the show. Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Faye. And as usual, they are regulars here, and possibly some of them will be back next week again as we go full down more on more of the Champions League and more of the transfer window news as well. And thank you, guys, once again. I really appreciate your support and time with us. And thank you, guys, for listening to another episode. Subscribe, share, rate, share to your friends, share to everyone who knows ball and even those who don't know ball, and let's enjoy the content together. So goodbye, see you next week.